You are back on.
Okay. Roll call. Congressman Keene.
Present.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congressman Maker.
Here.
Congresswoman Walker. I'm sorry, Congressman Walker.
Here.
And Congressman Big Horse.
Present. And we do have a quorum. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Okay. Madam Speaker, did you have any luck?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I believe that she is grabbing the documents off of the printer, but we did not receive a red line to be distributed.
Okay. We'll give her just a second or two to get back. She may have something in her hand.
Me? Chairman?
Did you get it? Yes, Madam Speaker.
Hi. Okay. Sorry, I was trying to finish my thought earlier with saying being on the agenda, like when we were able to look at the. So I hope everybody's able to see that, but you know how we do it in the big screen, because we're not in person this week, but we will be next week. So, anyways, I have not received a red line. However, I got the code and the bill filed. So we'll just have to work through that if everybody's okay. That would be
okay.
On the screen, it's moving around right now. I'm not the controller of the screen, so just FYI. Okay.
Speaker, the reason the screen is moving is because I'm trying to get all the portions printed for you that were
right, yeah,
in legislation.
That's fine. I was just saying that I don't have control. In case anyone wants me to do anything, I don't have control. Okay, so I guess we can start with, well, she's still going, but the definition, so it begins with 15 ONC section 403A, which is governmental agency means any department. So right now it says means any governmental department, component, or instrumentality of the Osage Nation government, including any tribally incorporated limited liability companies and tribal or non-tribal subsidiary limited liability companies. And so it would be amended to read governmental agency. So this is just the definitions. Governmental agency means any department, office, or instrumentality. So so far, only the word component has been stricken of the Osage Nation Government Inc. And so then it goes on to say excluding tribally incorporated limited liability companies and their subsidiaries, and excluding tribal enterprises governed by tribal enterprise boards established under Section 14 of Article 7 of the Osage Nation Constitution. So it would be excluding as opposed to including. Thank you.
Hey, Chairman, right quick. This is RJ.
Yes, Congressman Walker.
Yeah, I've got the legislation pulled up. Unfortunately, I do not have the code that you're referencing. Did you happen to, would it be much of an ask to have that scanned and have a PDF sent out? And I can use two computers, kind of like a big screen.
Sure.
Compare the changes.
Sure. I will have this second speaker go scan. My page list.
sweet.
I know, right? Is there anything else you need to ask her to do?
No.
Okay, wait. Can we ask her to send it to everybody for that same purpose? That would be fantastic. That's a great idea, Arjun.
Are you wanting to pull a map out on your two screens, two different computers?
Yes, that's what I'm going to do. I don't know about anybody else.
If you'll go to, if you'll go to the website and go to legislation documents and open up the code.
Oh yeah, I'll just do it that way.
You can search competitive bidding. It will take you it'll take you straight to the competitive bidding act that is currently law, and then open up the copy of your ONCA 2128 that I have emailed out to you guys. I can email it again if you would like. But
I don't, thank you.
So I've just sent another copy of ONCA 2128 for those that do not have it.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I'm sorry, Madam Speaker. What are we on as far as the Osage Nation code?
Okay, so we're looking at what's been sent out is it'll start at section 2, 401, but then we would move on over to where the specific amendments proposed in the new legislation, which would be go over to section 2403 under definitions. I believe emails have been sent out now. So we would go to definitions and then going down the legislation. So we would take the current code definitions there and then just start comparing it. Like what's on the screen there, the side by side. So see 2403 definitions and comparing it to the proposed legislation.
Okay.
Which were A, so we would compare the current reading, means any governmental department, component, or instrumentality of the Osage Nation government, including any tribally incorporated limited lot. Oh, it went away. But let me finish over here. And tribal or non-tribal subsidiary limited liability company. So that's what it currently says. What it would be amended to is governmental agency. And so the new legislation where it reads governmental agency means any department, office, or instrumentality of the Osage Nation government. So far component was stricken. And then it goes on to say excluding tribally incorporated limited liability companies and their subsidiaries and excluding tribal enterprises governed by tribal enterprise boards established under Section 14 of Article 7 of the Osage Nation Constitution.
Speaker, so that's Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Yes, call.
Right. I mean, I remember something very similar, if not the same, being proposed before. Mm-hmm. It's been a couple years. I guess the question is, at the time, it was mainly being, the way I recall, it was being, I don't want to say pushed, but the Gaming Enterprise Board was the main one that was wanting this to happen. And we went through their competitive bidding process, right? Is that what you remember?
Yes, they were recently, at the time that I filed a bill to exclude gaming. If you'll remember that the ranch and even Osage LLC were asking to be excluded. I believe even the clinic has
uh-huh.
asked to be excluded. So basically, I mean, I think the directors were asking to be excluded if they could have been. So that's why, you know, obviously we've had some work to do. But again, this is a collaborative effort, but I hear where you're probably going is to say, well, what happens next? And regarding the other entities, and that's, yes, we did have their own. It basically came from their current policy, and that's what was basically implemented into what created their competitive bidding law for gaming as a standalone, because they, you know, all claim that there are different needs and whatnot, which is why I didn't understand why it was. Well, what made it hard for them is that in having that conversation with Treasury at one time, because it was stated some of the delays, which I didn't think that was probably the case for the programs. But it would have probably been the case for the outside entities, because what was part of the problem that was stated to me at that time was a bank of contractors who would do the work for them to grab. So I was just like, I didn't understand. That didn't make sense to me as far as the programs were concerned, considering we do the same things over and over all the time. So you should have a good base of, you know, companies that are used. And so that didn't make sense to me on the program side of it, but I could see that being the case for gaming, etc. And so, and then of course the ranch will have their needs. But it's just this is, again, they will tell you that we've worked on this together, and this is coming, a lot of this is coming from them identifying the needs, because they, for the nation, best know their needs, but also I believe that the other entities do as well, which that's their argument, is that the gaming, the medical, the ranch, et cetera, are going to know their own needs within their bidding process. And I'm just trying to be useful and make this a useful tool for them, as well as moving with the outside entities, because, you know, a lot of times I feel like this is how we got locked up in the first place was, you know, this has to be user friendly for the individuals that are abiding by this on a daily basis. You know, times how we get into that is telling them how they're going to do it or how they should do it. And then we catch the first plane, train, or automobile out of here, and they're the ones that have to follow this on a daily basis. So that's change number one. Has everybody got their copies and ready to proceed?
Yes, ma'am. I have mine.
I have mine, but I'm not ready to proceed. So, and I'm scrolling through the law. Sorry, I haven't read it or compared it all yet. So, the exclusion of the limited liability companies, you know, specifically, you know, although at arm's length, they are still part of the executive branch. That gives me a little bit of pause there. I feel like I'm wondering if I would prefer to keep tribally incorporated limited liabilities company as still being part of the, as being defined as a governmental agency. And without knowing all of the other tribal enterprises, if they have their competitive bidding processes in place and not having a chance to look at all of them, that also gives me pause. I tend to, you know, having spent hours in committee meetings talking to the Gaming Enterprise Board, there's a level of comfort there and allowing them to exercise some autonomy. They've earned it. I'm not saying others haven't, but in particular, they have, you know, as far as I'm concerned. So I'll just say that, and I guess I'll end with the question. Is somewhere in this law, this new law, does it go on to specify any of these enterprises or limited liabilities, identify kind of some parameters that they may or may not have?
Madam Speaker.
And while you're gathering your thoughts or maybe scrolling through, this is what my ninth or tenth year on Congress, and the amendments to the Competitive Bidding Act have always been difficult, and for good reason. You know, it's the catchphrase, or, you know, the people's money. It's what we're dealing with. We've had issues with not maybe keeping our eye properly on the ball before, especially with our limited liability companies. And anyway, I don't want to make that mistake again. And no way am I saying that this is what's being proposed or that we do that. But these protections, if you will, have been put in place pretty tightly for a reason.
Mr. Chair, this is Brandy.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sure.
Yes, Congresswoman Lewin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Speaker, I was just wondering, with the what we have in front of us here on this particular definition, and with the filed legislation of the Healthcare Reform Act, where do you see that falling if the Healthcare Reform Act were to be passed by this body and signed into law?
Yeah, so that would be another entity, that would be a standalone, not subject to this particular Competitive Bidding Act, but it would have its own, and that's a part of their process in moving forward with that as well. So
that's good.
Okay. And I hear what you're saying, Congressman Walker, and I get it, but let's go back to the comment of gaming. That's a good discussion. So I want to know what you mean by gaming has earned it, as opposed to other entities. If you can follow up on that.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. I mean, they've had clean audits. they've had clean, I'm sorry, Chairman, they've had clean audits for a number of consecutive years. There's a gaming commission that is a regulatory part of their operation. So there is a check and balance already in place with dozens of employees. They've been somewhat of the gold standard around here. Is that a good enough explanation?
Well, and you know, I'm being serious when I'm just trying to talk this through, because this is where we've been here. This is how we get here, that we have been here before. And I agree that this is a difficult, has been for different reasons, a difficult bill to work through. But so I'm truly hearing your words and wanting to work through that, because in saying that they've earned it, well, if I mean, as I recall, how this thing got so, and that's why I was willing to file the bill in order to exclude gaming, because, you know, and I agree, but how this whole thing got so locked up in the first place is because there were people who did not trust gaming whatsoever, who that's where it was, because, you know, we heard about the overrun, and the players that were involved prior to them being Osage. And I mean, there's just different factors that come into play. That there was a huge, mistrust factor, and that's how this thing got locked up. And of course, you know, then some people were like, oh yeah, like that's true. Like, we got to get it. But there was, even with the overrun, this thing got really locked up partially because of the overrun on the casinos. But again, those were board approved. Though there are times that maybe the Congress doesn't know about these things. They are board approved. They were board approved, but much of it is board approved, which is why, you know, internally those things have to be really worked on. And they had those available, which is basically what got popped into the law put forward to exclude them. That was put together very quickly because it was based off of their own policy. So I'm just trying to think it through and make an argument, and whether it be for or against, talking about the other entities who are one by one asking to be excluded from this, because it's such a process for them in dealing in being included into the nation's competitive bidding process. Plus, I don't know that anyone would maybe say now that it was a manpower issue, but I mean, it had to have been a manpower issue as well, considering that, you know, doing the nation's program as well as the outside entities.
Chairman.
Yes, Congressman Walker.
Right. So just curious, there towards the very end of your comment there, Speaker, were you referencing it being the overrun kind of caused a lot of the heartburn, if you will, with the previous Congresses?
Yeah, there was the overrun. And so that, you know, screams. There's at times scream scandal. I mean, the same with the boards. I mean, this also, again, lies in the boards, which is why the boards have to continue to get stronger, because this ability still lies within, you know, a lot of this lies within the board's abilities. Yeah, part of it was the overrun. Part of it was the players at the time. And just different personalities in Congress and thoughts. So,
Cameron, would you indulge us in some open dialogue here? Is that okay?
Yes, go ahead.
So, anyway, I think this is productive. It needs to be talked about. And I think I'm going to help, you know, somewhat make your point or help your argument. I didn't have as big of a problem with the overrun that we're talking about, that being Ponca City and Skytook, for those that are listening and not may not know what we're talking about, which resulted in a $30 million increase. I wasn't one that had as big of a problem with that, that being that those actions were taking place during an open gaming enterprise board meeting and where the motion was made and voted on. So to me, it wasn't like it was done behind closed doors or anything else, but it did result in a tremendous amount of heartburn with some of the members on the Congress then, because they didn't feel like they had the authority to spend the extra $30 million. That's a different discussion or not. That may be a dead horse that we're starting to kick. But as I sit here and think about this, not necessarily having a clear understanding or comfort level with every limited liability and every tribal enterprise except for gaming, I would almost say, Speaker, that if this was filed like it was, like you filed it a couple years ago and it excludes gaming, I'd probably be saying, let's go. But right now I'm saying, let's take a sure enough closer look at the rest of them.
Well, okay. Madam Speaker, if you don't mind, one of the problems I have is the amount of time that it takes some departments to get a contract approved. I mean, I've had two or three directors come to me and tell me that it's taken them up to 6 months to get a contract approved so that they could get someone hired on of certain expertise in a certain field. So I was hoping some of that would be in here.
Well, it is. We're just on a first piece, and but the reason we're specifically talking about the LLCs right now is because the very beginning of it would exclude them. And I would certainly never kick a dead horse, or a live horse, but I was using that as an example because you said, you know, this is difficult to get through. And I agree. And I explained why, because there's different, you stated, and I can totally see that. And I recall it is you'd be having a different comfort level because we're going back to, again, this stuff is board approved. Just like I'm not going to stay here and take responsibility. You know, a lot of times when people I'm trying to see down the road and in the LLCs in a positive light and moving forward. Otherwise, I've said it in the past, then let's shut it down. Let's stop. But there's been a lot of work that's gone into it. There are great board members now. I mean, what's wild is that we finally got to the point of we have a board, you know, that we fully trust. So my point is this is how this piece got to be so locked up and frustrating is my point, Congressman, for your comment, Congressman Big Horse, which is because there's different players in, for example, a CEO, a COO. Do we know them? Do we trust them? The work relationship, again, but the only reason I was bringing up the overruns because that's how this sucker got so locked up. And so, unfortunately, the employees of the nation have that their process has fallen victim to much of that because everyone was included. And so it's locked a lot of people up, including the employees of the nation, which should be again, they abide by this daily. So, I mean, that's my point, is that I'm glad we're having this discussion, and I hope we continue to work through it. My thing, I hear what you're saying as far as those being excluded, but again, the same thing is, gaming had their own policy. There could be a section carved out for abiding by the policies of the LLCs, because again, a lot of what happens, that people, like you're saying, people listening need to understand, is that a lot of these things happen by board approval. But then at the same time, these boards are extremely frustrated. The clinic is frustrated. The other entities are just as frustrated as the program employees, and they have big projects going on, not just trying to get, I mean, we were held up forever trying to get tutors. I mean, there's one thing, getting tutors, and that should be very quick and simple. But there were months going by that they couldn't get, because of the procurement of tutors for the children. And but then we're talking from that level to, you know, millions and millions of dollars. And so, again, it's a trust thing. And so, but my point is that here we are still sitting here saying the trust thing. So I'm glad we trust gaming at this point, because it was a time, and how this got locked up is because people didn't trust what was happening in that entity. So here we are. But now what basically kind of what we're saying is that we don't trust the ranch board to do their own. We don't trust the Osage LLC to do theirs. And so that's basically where we are. But at least, yay, we've gotten to the piece of good for gaming. We've gotten to the point of trust with them. That's my argument as far as that's concerned.
Chairman.
Yes, Congressman.
Right. And so, you know, just so everyone is clear, this only applied to construction. And, you know, with the arguments that are made, and even to the point that Chairman Bickhorst brought up about basically directors having a difficult time getting just minor needs approved. I mean, to me, it would seem like, well, then why don't we consider, you know, $50,000 or $60,000-$70,000 for more staff, maybe the ability to get some legal assistance, even if by way of contracting, to review contracts if things get bottlenecked, rather than give the ability for limited liability companies, ranch board, you name it, to go out and execute contracts under $250,000 without having to go through this process. That's my quick reading of it.
The comment,
okay, hold on one second, Chairman.
Yes, Madam Speaker.
Chair, this is Stabler. I'd like to make a comment if I could.
Yes, Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you. This is kind of to tag on what Congressman Walker was just talking about. This that's true. This just has to do with construction, large projects of construction. We do have issues that go on where getting contracts reviewed, getting timely supplies, just the general procurement. So I think that's a question that we do need to spend some time, maybe not with this bill, but some further discussion in talking with the AG's office, in talking with the Treasury, because is it the volume of what we're talking about? To me, that's a huge problem. Because in the general procurement, not the construction procurement, but in the general procurement, a lot of times it does include contracts, whether they're service contracts or whatever it is. It also includes a huge volume of supplies. And of course, my experience was with the clinic. And when we first opened the clinic and we started working, we were getting, you know, such comments as, you have too many contracts. You're ordering supplies too often. Don't order so many drugs during the month because we can't keep up. Well, I believe them. They couldn't keep up. But I also had to keep saying, but we're running a clinic, and these are the way things have to run a clinic. So I think that that is another issue that we need to take up, whether it comes in the form of a procurement bill or if it's something that we just have to understand and realize that there needs to be a bigger department that works this, or there needs to be more cooperation with the programs to be able to handle a certain level of procurement, which has nothing to do with this bill. But I just wanted to stick that comment in there since Congressman Walker was kind of taking us down that path as well. That they do, we do need to support or to assist with some kind of a change on that level too. Probably the most recent one that I know about was over the freezer for vaccines. After 6 months, we couldn't get a freezer. We were trying early on to get it, but it was bogged down through that chain of processes with procurement to get it in here. And
oh,
so,
my goodness.
So now they managed, they did a workaround. The clinic is great about workarounds. Everything was fine. Everything is safe. There's no issue there, but they were trying to take that easy route of getting one of those, you know, 0 degree sub-freezers in here so that they could manage that. So, but it's those kind of things with the ranch. It was trying to get a construction piece of trying to get a barn built, but, you know, when you don't have people within that expertise for procurement for specialties, you also run into a problem. So I'd like to see us work on some other things as well as this. I think this is important, very, very important bill to work on, but we have some other issues that we need to address too. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you, Congresswoman Stabler, and I wholeheartedly agree. Comments?
So,
or questions?
Is that you, RJ?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so I was going to say, do you guys want to continue to redline the rest of them or continue to work through, or what do you want to do? Go to the next one? Because that one's a big one, and that was number one.
Yeah, I think that would be the most productive. The more, sorry, Chairman, may I?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we can get bogged down, drive off in the ditch with the best of them. But I think we've had some productive dialogue. We've opened people's minds for ideas. And for me, I feel like, yeah, let's go down to the next change and compare that.
Okay.
Continue.
All right. So D currently reads tribal development and land acquisition means the entity within the executive branch of the Osage Nation designated to receive requests for construction projects from requisitioning agents, coordinate with the procurement officer, and award contracts. It shall be amended to read tribal development because TDLA is no longer a TDLA, it's a TD. TD, tribal development means the entity or its successor within the executive branch of the Osage Nation designated to receive requests for construction projects from requisitioning agents, coordinate with the procurement officer, and award contracts. Can I see your?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Oh, okay. Next. Is everybody good with that language-ish?
Yes.
Yeah, I am. I mean, it just says, or its successor, so that means if a tribal department has mm-hmm. a name change.
Right. In the event that it has a name change. Okay, next, E and F. Contract means any contract exceeding $50,000 in amount, requisitioned by requisitioning agent for the purpose of making any public improvements in constructing any public building belonging to the Osage Nation or making repairs to or performing maintenance on the same. It would amend to read means any construction contract exceeding $250,000 in aggregate amount, including any options or add-ons, which is requisitioned by a requisitioning agent for the purpose of making any public improvement, constructing any public building, or making repairs to or performing maintenance on the same. Same thing, it would raise the amount because you run into $50,000 a lot. So it would raise the amount from 50 to 250. Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay, may I?
Yes, Congressman Walker.
Right. I mean, that's a big increase. Maybe not whenever we're building millions of dollar casino, but it is when we're building a $100,000 pole barn. But I'm trying to figure out, going back and forth on these two bills, existing in the new one. It says it's using an aggregate amount is requisitioned by a requisitioning agent. Well, if you go into the existing bill, I don't see an added, wait, there it is. Okay, requisitioning agent means the person designated within each department, program, or governmental entity of the USAG Nation to make requests to tribal development and land acquisition for construction projects. There's the tribal development land acquisition referenced again.
Land back out.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we need, if we're gonna increase basically the $50,000 to $250,000, for me, I think there's gonna need to be thresholds in there. I mean, with percentages. So, but okay.
Okay, Chairman. Congresswoman Stabler would like to be recognized.
Yes, Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you. So this brings up something to me that I'm curious about and wondering, because I've been involved with projects that have been over $50,000, but I haven't really thought about this where construction is concerned. So we're moving that threshold up to $250,000. That leaves a lot of room underneath that. And have we really changed anything if we change these and everybody then still has to go through procurement? Let's say it's a $100,000 renovation construction. Aren't they going to have to follow the same path with procurement? Or will they eliminate procurement and it'll just go through the boards? But then there'll be contracts that have to be signed, and then there will be who will coordinate those services? Is it still going to go through TDLA to coordinate those services? Or TD, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to, you're talking about for the outside entity?
Yeah. So the boards will handle it completely?
That's why it's wanted to be excluded.
Chairman.
To be excluded from the original bill. Mm-hmm. So now we've got them up to $250,000, and they've got a $200,000 renovation they need to do. What will they follow to do that?
They'll have to follow their policy.
They'll have to develop their own policy of how they'll handle that themselves, and it'll be handled internally by that entity.
Yes, it would have to be, unless they're
Chairman.
Okay.
Congressman Walker.
Right. Look, kind of piggyback on that. I mean, my plain reading of the change is contract is defined in both bills. Just basically the substantive change in the one being proposed is contract means anything exceeding $250,000. Before, it said anything exceeding $50,000. So anything below $250,000 in the new bill wouldn't fit within the definition of a contract. So with that said, that would be my assumption, Congresswoman Stabler, is that they would have to develop their own policy or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it wouldn't fall within the contract definition of the Competitive Bidding Act and wouldn't be subjected to it.
Mr. Chairman, it's Terry Moore.
We excluded anyways.
Good counsel.
We put the
counsel rules. Moore.
This is just my understanding. I think the AGA office handles this stuff, but I believe that anything that would be under whatever that threshold is just follows the regular procurement process. It doesn't have to go to this competitive bid process. Maybe they could clarify. It's not like there's nothing there. There's still the procurement policy that would have been for the under 50,000 under. It would just raise that threshold for whatever that regular procurement process is. It might be three bids. I can't remember.
All right. Thank you.
Right, which Mr. Patterson is still on.
Which is why Chief ends up declaring an emergency. When it exceeds it.
Right. Well,
are we waiting on, was Terry
definition of an emergency
wanting the AG? No, I was just saying that's how it ends up. That's why gaming kept asking to be raised higher. So I think we raised them at first, and then they, because Chief was having to declare emergencies for them, because when one of their systems go down, it easily exceeds $50,000. So they were excluded, and then we moved on from there, and now they're on their own. Are we waiting on the? Is someone waiting on the AG or? Do you want me to continue? Well,
this is Brandy.
Just tell me what you guys want me to do. We have like 10 minutes left.
Okay, I don't know that we're waiting on the AG, so you can continue.
Okay. All right, I'm sorry. Ms. Mason Moore was referring to him and said she didn't know if she was on, so I thought we were waiting. Okay.
Yeah, I apologize, Mr. Chair. I'm still here.
Yes.
Yeah, Ms. Mason Moore is correct. If it doesn't meet the threshold for the Competitive Bidding Act, it falls back on the procurement policies established by Treasury. And I'm not sure exactly what that is, but that's the way it would go.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Chairman.
Yes, Congressman Walker.
Would that still be the case if we exclude limited liabilities and other enterprises? Would we just assume that they're going to use the Treasury's procurement policies, or could they have their own? I would think that with this change, they could have their own. Is that a wrong assumption?
The Attorney General, Mr. Patterson.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that is correct. If they're carved out of the lot altogether, they would have to develop, or it would be incumbent upon them to develop their own, because they have their own accounting policies and they use their own accountants. So when they try to cross over and use the nation's procurement, that does create some problems corresponding with each other and getting things done in a timely manner. Because they're using their own accountants and then counting on our procurement process. It's not
yes,
the best
sir.
System.
Thank you. Madam Speaker.
Right, which is why it made it. No, I'm not sure about the LLC right offhand. I'll have to follow up on that. But that's, the gaming had their internal policy, and that's basically why we were able to remove it and implement theirs so quickly, was because they follow their policy, and it was per the Gaming Commission
Mm-hmm.
In their evaluation, whatever you call it. And so that's what we were able to, we basically took their policy and put it into law.
So do we need to insert that?
Okay. Well, we're running out of time.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Okay.
I will be quick.
You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So with a little bit of the going back, you know, we've kind of circled back to the exclusion of the LLCs and any of the enterprise boards, and we had the opportunity to work through the excluding the casinos in the past. And what helped me personally get through that was the fact that they already had something in place. We actually had it in writing. And I just know that from past conversations that we've had, you know, ourselves and some of us with other people that are currently some of our boards and LLCs, including, you know, other boards besides just our LLC boards, they don't have those things in place at this point in time. And so I do see why it causes pause for some. And I want to support this, absolutely. And I've had conversations with you, Speaker Pratt, about how this becomes a bottleneck and why this is a good idea. And so my biggest hang up is the fact that we do know that in their articles of operation and in policies and procedures, some of our boards, several, aren't functioning at that level right now. And so that trust is a big thing that does come in and comes into play, that we know that they may not have what they need in place at this point in time, not just in this particular light, but in other things that are going on within their entities, such as ethics issues and things of that nature that aren't in place. So that's kind of where my hang up is. Thank you.
Well, Chairman, if I may, I mean, I hear what you're saying. Yes. The question that is a question lies because they very well could, because they follow, you know, their internal policy when they're hiring and contracting, et cetera. So I think we do need to know what they have, because it very well could be there. But all we know right now is that they don't have a policy, I guess particularly when just some basic policy, but there could be beyond. So, I mean, that's a question, but like I said, there would need to be, could be a section carved out for this to where they would fall under their own policy or take their policy. And if we were going to go there and exclude them, then do the same as like gaming, but there could also be an alternate effective date. How to them to have that worked through by then, and they would fall off maybe at the boards could fall off at a certain point at the alternate effective date.
Yeah, that's another option. I mean, that's a good, yeah, absolutely. And I don't feel that it would help. I know that it would help me to know, you know, that to see their, to be able to see what they actually have in place, like we did with the, sure, the game, you know, and, right, and we've had that conversation about getting that information. I think you and I and second speaker did, about having that, you know, and going through that. And when we vetted one of the board members recently, I asked them if, you know, they're really ready to get in there and get all those things in order, not necessarily this policy, but just the articles of operation and updating them. So, and policies. And I don't know if that needs to be support documentation or whatever, but I'm just wondering if that would help Congressman Walker in any way, or is that completely out of left field?
Is that directed towards Congressman Walker?
If he'd like to answer, that's fine. But would it be helpful?
Pardon me, but I heard my name, obviously piqued my interest. I was reading ahead a little bit. So you said, would you paraphrase and ask the question again, please?
Certainly. So whenever we did the excluded the gaming board from the Competitive Bidding Act, we had an enormous amount of support documentation that came with it from them. And it gave us a comfort level. And so that's kind of what I'm asking is that, you know, we don't know what Speaker Pratt said about, you know, what they do have in place at the LLC board level and the enterprise board levels. And so would it be helpful to have that submitted to us for support documentation to know what they do have?
I think it should be, and I don't mean this to be sarcastic, but yes, that should be necessary for any of us to be willing to vote and make this change. I mean, so yes, the answer is yes.
All right. Well, so I just want to say for the chairman that, I mean, I get it on the first one, but I just want to say I'm committed to working on this, and I appreciate the discussion, and I appreciate because I do realize that this is has been difficult to work through. It is the whole, and I know I, you know, get off on the, what is it? I drive in the ditch, RJ, about the whole, but it all ties together, the procurement, the...
I didn't say you, I said we.
No. I mean, I get it. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just saying that's what I did was, you know, because it's all encompassing and it's just been a big, sore thumb, two thumbs and toes, you know, for a while now. And so I'm just saying, and it does, I was going back and not trying to bring up old stuff. I'm just saying that that's sometimes how we get there. So I just remain committed in trying to work through this because again, I just really, we're good at a lot of things and making this difficult on ourselves is one of them. I just really want to be committed to working through this and trying to get better at this and making it user, obviously provide the protections that we need as a nation, but make it user friendly for those, you know, you've been over there, I've been over there, and just making this whole process, including the procurement process as well as this. I know how they felt at gaming, and I know the frustrations of the ranch, ranch board, all of them. And so we've been there in feeling those frustrations, and I just want to remain committed to working through this. I will do whatever you ask of me, but just making it more user-friendly, but obviously provide the protections at the same time. So I appreciate the discussion, and I will continue to work on it.
Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, Congressman Walker.
I know we're up against it, but I will say that the next three amendments, F, G, and J, look like good common sense needed changes. We need to add qualifications next to proposal, but anyway, I'll shut up. Thanks.
Okay. Madam Speaker, would you like to carry this on to the next meeting?
I would, definitely. Like I said, I remain committed to working through this, and I appreciate the participation of the AG's office and Ms. Mason Moore and the executive branch. Because it's definitely going to take a collaborative effort. I'm not running in here trying to tell anybody how they should do it because we need it to be effective for everyone, but also provide the protections where we come in of the nation. So I would like to have some follow-up conversations with, I've got notes and have a few follow-up conversations, and then I will get with you, Chairman, so that hopefully I can have some progress for the next meeting. And so I'll work with you on getting on a future agenda.
Okay. Do we need a motion to postpone to the call of the chair or?
Speaker, I just have one quick little question to ask.
Motion withdrawn.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you. I'll be really quick. Speaker Pratt, when you're doing the cleanup part of it, do you intend on removing all the TDLA and just put TD? Is that something you're going to do? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Congressman Walker.
Motion to postpone ONCA 2128 to the call of the chair.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, we are adjourned. Okay.
Thank you.
Madam Speaker, I'll get with you too, and we'll figure up a I don't know if you want to put them side by side or just redline one.
Yeah, I would like, I could probably just do that. And like I said, I will be probably by the time the next meeting, I will be in the chambers on the big board. So maybe that would be, maybe I could work through this quicker.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Okay, I have an amendment, but I didn't bring it up. So I'll send it to you.